So hey there friends, welcome to episode 114 of the Movement and Mindfulness podcast. Today we're going to be talking all about a quote that I have pulled out of its original context and want to talk about in relation to our movement practice. That quote comes from my friend, the Movement Maestro, and is the following. We tend to think that doing right means doing more, and that isn't always the case. So we're going to dive into that in just a sec.
Hi, and welcome to the Movement and Mindfulness podcast with me, Erica Webb of Erica Webb Yoga and Pilates. In this podcast, I, along with my guests, will explore what it means to move as an act of self-kindness and self-discovery. We'll look at the ways movement, mindset, and mindfulness support us to be and do the things we so desire in the world. I truly believe that movement has the ability to expand our capacity to show up for the things that are important to us. And I'm here to help you embrace the idea of movement as a powerful tool for wellness, rather than just another thing you think you should be doing. I'm thrilled you're here. Let's do this.
So hello, as I mentioned in the introduction, we are going to be kind of taking apart a quote that I have borrowed from Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro. And I will be really honest and say that I've pulled it well and truly out of its original context, which was in relation to some business advice. But I want to talk about it in terms of our movement practice because I think it is incredibly relevant. And I do love to, you know, connect the dots between things that, you know, maybe started in a different context and we can apply to the way that we move and then extrapolate back out into the way that we do life. So I also want to say, I sort of grapple with how much are we going to talk about what's going on? But, you know, I'm recording this in lockdown again. I feel like I say this all the time, but that's fine. And it's been just a huge time for everyone. You know, I'm exhausted. I know most people that I know are exhausted, overwhelmed, confused, sad about everything that's going on in the world. And yet, you know, in amongst that, also full of gratitude and looking for the beauty in things where we can. One of the things that was really interesting for me this week was, and we are going to come back to our topic, but one of the things that was really interesting for me this week was I had my first COVID vaccine. And in the wellness world, you know, there is a lot of division around the pandemic and the vaccine in particular. And I wanted to make it really clear where I stand on that. I am vaccinated. I think the vaccinations are completely necessary. And I posted this on Instagram. And I don't have a huge following on Instagram, but it was very quickly evident that my opinion wasn't shared by everybody. And, you know, I lost quite a few followers. And it was the first time where that's happened. And I've gone, okay, cool. I am completely comfortable with that. I am not, I wouldn't even say recovering. I am someone who's very conscious of the fact that I want to be liked. And it was a really interesting thing for me to notice that I was really comfortable losing, you know, people in my space, for that reason. And it made me think back to my conversation with, Laura Jean, a little brain fart there thinking, I'm thinking dietitian values was all that was in my head, but it made me think back to my conversation with Laura about values and living a values driven life. And one thing that I am sure that I haven't done as often as I could in my life, not just my business, but in my life is, you know, live my values very verbally, I suppose, putting them front and center. And so I did that and, you know, it didn't resonate with everyone and that's cool. This is completely unrelated to today's topic, but something that I thought I'd share. And I think it's really interesting that like a lot of what's coming up for me this week is this idea of there being like both and, like sadness and gratitude, despair and happiness, confusion and clarity. We don't tend to sort of exist on one end of a spectrum at any given time. We tend to be able to, you know, experience duality, which is can in itself be kind of confusing, right? So anyway, bit of a ramble, but I say this to, and I share this to, you know, just say that if you are feeling in a similar state, you know, that confusion and that up and down and just feeling a bit tumbled about, I guess, by everything that's going on in the world, I see you. And I do too. So with that, let us dive in to this quote, which, as I said, I've taken fully out of context. It was business advice, and I'm going to make it a conversation around movement. But the quote, like I said, comes from Shante Cofield, who is the movement maestro. She's been on the podcast before, one of my favorite conversations. And she said, "We tend to think that doing right means doing more, and that isn't always the case." And this ties into our movement practice in a really clear way. You know, I talk a lot about how doing less and doing less is completely legitimate. We tend to have a very all or nothing view around our movement practice and life. And the truth of the matter is that, like, it all counts. A little bit counts. It's not like if you do 5 minutes of yoga, it didn't count because it wasn't 60. It all counts. And yet we have these very ingrained ideas. Sometimes we're conscious of them, sometimes we're not. But these ideas around what is right or what is enough or what is acceptable or what counts, they are deeply, deeply ingrained. And so they can drive us without us really having the space or the awareness to notice that they're there. And I find this so fascinating about ourselves. Because we're driven, you know, we operate on habit, ultimately, we can often miss the subtle and not so subtle ways that this impacts us in our movement practice. So one example of this is that if we truly believe that the only legitimate way of moving is when it takes an hour or when it's done in a quiet yoga space or when it happens in a studio or whatever else, it might point to the reality that we're actually really sort of scared of the self-judgment and the disappointment that will result if we do less. Sometimes that might mean that instead of showing up for less, we simply don't show up at all, because then the self-judgment and the disappointment maybe is a little bit different. And I think that this is truly important because it can get in the way of our own self-assessment of what we need in any given moment, on any given day, in any stage of our life. We go through phases and stages. Our needs do not stay the same. And yet our ideas of what is right or enough or what counts tend to stay fairly fixed, because we often just take them for granted. We take them as a bit of a given. And so I think that as a result of this, and this is something that's come up a lot for me lately too, is like this idea of getting more comfortable with being uncomfortable. Self-care and self-kindness can absolutely be used to opt out of discomfort. You know, it's really easy to be like, I don't like this confrontation. The self-kind thing for me to do is to just, you know, remove myself from this. Sometimes that's appropriate, but sometimes it's actually us just being like, how can I avoid it? And it doesn't resolve anything. It doesn't, you know, sometimes it's really not the kindest thing that we can do for ourselves. Sometimes the kindest thing we can do is sit in the discomfort and move through the discomfort, both of, you know, life scenarios and in our movement practice. If we are moving on our yoga mat and we come up against a movement that is not painful — pain is a completely different activity, a completely different scenario — but we come up against something where we're like, God, this is hard. Or we notice that we're feeling uncomfortable because we don't feel as skilled as we'd like to be, or it feels unfamiliar, or whatever the case may be. You know, is the kind thing to turn away from that and opt out? Or is the kind thing to explore and be curious and move through? And the answer isn't always the same. There's always nuance. But if we have really rigid ideas of what is right, then we can have this reality that we end up missing the opportunity to be present to what's true for us on any given day or stage or moment. So, as I said, an idea, like the idea here being that maybe we need to get more comfortable with being uncomfortable. This is something that I am toying with in my life constantly at the moment. It's a really interesting one to me. But it might mean that, you know, when we, let's just say we turn on a yoga video, or we just sit down to do our own practice. We feel confident to move through a practice on our own. And we stop after 5 minutes. We turn the video off or we stop. If our belief is that 60 minutes is the only legitimate way, or 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever the number might be, or a complete session, so maybe it doesn't matter how long it is, but it needs to go from beginning to end, then maybe the truth is that when we stop after 5 minutes, we feel swamped with guilt. Does the presence of that guilt mean that we didn't do it right? Of course not. But if we are not conscious of the fact that, you know, it's those deeper beliefs that are driving the show, then we might believe that we feel guilty because we didn't do it right. And so those moments are an opportunity to sit with kindness, through effort, because self-kindness tends to not be automatic. Just because we want to be kind to ourselves. I've been practicing self-kindness for a long time, and there are still lots of times in my day where that takes conscious effort. And so, you know, it becomes this awareness activity. This might also mean noticing the discomfort that we experience when we are faced with resistance. Resistance isn't necessarily a sign that we should walk away from what we're trying to do. So let's say it's resistance to get on our mat and move. But if we're not honest with ourselves and open to noticing that sort of subtle nuance, and we're being driven just by the belief that more is better, then how can we know? How can we be aware of, is this resistance a sign that maybe today is not the day? Or is this resistance a sign that I am just experiencing human resistance, which is really normal, and the kindest thing would be to move through it? One of the other things that Shante, the movement maestro, said in her podcast, which is sort of what's prompted this, and again, I mentioned at the beginning, the context for that was very business-oriented, and we're talking about movement here. But she talked about trusting ourselves to handle the outcome of doing less. And I think this is fascinating. I think this is so fascinating. As I said, I've pulled it out of context. And so this is sort of becoming my own idea, I suppose, you know, just sort of teasing out these ideas. But if we have these rigid ideas, right, that more is better and 100% is like the only valid outcome, then maybe we love the idea of doing less, but we don't necessarily trust ourselves to handle the outcome of actually doing it. Because maybe when we do not everything, we don't do it all, then we're really uncomfortable with the fact that we experience the guilt. So maybe we're kind of like scared of that outcome of feeling bad about ourselves. And so we do nothing instead, or we push and force ourselves to do the most, even when everything in our body or that subtle little voice in the back of our head is saying, not today. This is not right today. I need you to do less. And so, you know, this idea of the right thing being more, I think, just deserves some attention, you know, just it deserves our consideration. We hold so many beliefs that we've just not really checked in with. And great, right? If we had to sort of check off every belief that we had before we made decisions and moved through our day and decided how to move and did all the things, we wouldn't get very far through our day. We operate on our beliefs because they get us through life a little bit more quickly, a little bit easier. They simplify things because we know what we know. But when what we know is no longer serving us, or what we think we know is no longer serving us, then it really is beneficial to take a look at how those beliefs are driving us and make a decision about whether we want to keep buying into that or not. And sometimes the answer will be yes. Sometimes we'll be like, yeah, I love this belief. This is great. But other times, you know, when we find ourselves relentlessly pushing and really not sure why, looking at that belief that, you know, doing it right means doing more might be a really valuable thing to do. What I want to add to this is, you know, I don't know, maybe I was going to say we don't often think of our movement practice as being a mental practice in the way that I'm suggesting. Maybe you do. I mean, I absolutely do, because that's how I view it. But perhaps, you know, you've got your movement practice and your kind of self-awareness and self-discovery practice as sort of two separate things. But honestly, they overlap so very much. And this is why I think that therapy is a really good addition to our movement practice, especially if it brings up some stuff that you're like, whoa, I see all these patterns that I'm playing out and I'm not sure necessarily what to do. Please, you know that there are people to support you. Reach out to talk this stuff through, because it is a fascinating sort of journey of self-discovery. And I think that's probably why I love movement so much. I mean, I love it for so many reasons. Maybe we could do a list one day, top 100 reasons I love movement. But it is also such an incredible way to get to know ourselves and to understand what motivates us and to understand what sort of maybe gets in our way as well. And I think that need for perfection has certainly been something that's gotten in my way in the past, and probably to some extent even to this day. And so, you know, I hope that gives you some food for thought. As you notice this stuff, though, really meet yourself with kindness. When we're working towards a movement practice that is self-kind, and the practice itself being self-kind, the practice kind of feeding into this desire to be kinder to ourselves in general, as we notice these challenges, we got to meet them with kindness, because that's the point. That's the whole point. And so, as I mentioned before, that takes some conscious effort. Self-kindness is not the default. It doesn't tend to be the default. It will take effort. It will take repetition. It will take consciousness of that mean person inside your head that wants to make you believe that, you know, a little bit isn't enough. But it really is. And so I'm going to leave this episode there. I would super love to know, you know, if this drawing out of an idea from somewhere else and applying it to movement has been helpful for you. As I said, you don't have to do any of this stuff alone, right? I mean, I see a therapist, and I don't know, I have on and off throughout my whole life seen various helping professionals. And I don't know why we've ended up sort of pairing that with this idea that we are, you know, weak or less than or whatever other sort of things that conjures up for you. But, you know, I don't know. I only tell you that I see a therapist to normalize it, I suppose, and to, just to normalize it. It's good. It is useful. It is helpful. And so I'm going to leave it there. Come and find me over on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. You can also email me, erica@ericawebyoga.com.au. And if you're not already on my email list, you might want to just jump over to the website, which is ericawebyoga.com.au, and join me. Every Thursday, so the same day that this podcast comes out, actually, every Thursday I send out a newsletter, which is called The Simple Shifts to Mindful Movement Habits. And it inside we have like a very short movement practice, usually just one movement or one idea. Actually, that's not true. It's not always one movement, but little sequences, very short sequences that you can do within just a couple of minutes. And along with that, a little bit of, you know, written content too about this whole idea of being kind through movement. And I would love you to, you know, get that inspiration into your inbox every Thursday. So head on over to the website. You can find that on the homepage to sign up. Come find me on Instagram. Email me. I would love to know how this has landed. If you've got questions, maybe like ideas for future episodes, I would love to hear them. So wherever you are in the world, take care of yourself, keep being kind, and I will look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Movement and Mindfulness podcast. I hope you loved it. And if you did, maybe share it with a friend who would love it too. And I'd also be so grateful if you'd take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show. It makes such a difference to get that feedback. And if you're over on social media, why not come and find me? You'll find me at Erica Webb Yoga on both Instagram and Facebook. And over on my website, you'll find access to some free resources, including free classes that will help you to move well, feel well, and most importantly, move with kindness. Over there, you'll also find more information about joining me inside the Mindful Movement Virtual Studio, which is my home of kind movement, yoga, Pilates, and somatics to help you move well, feel well, and all with kindness. Until next time, I hope you're having a great day. I'll talk to you again soon.